This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Busy day in the transfer portal. Good morning. It is Thursday, January 20th. You are listening to the College Football Daily. My name is Trey Scott. We're actually going to be talking portal today with Matthew Brune, staff writer at Go247, which is 24/7 Sports' LSU site. Because the Tigers, the Bayou Bengals, Brian Kelly's Bayou Bengals, have the number one transfer class in the 24/7 Sports rankings. And as we kick off our second season of the series across the country with the College Football Daily, we wanted to spotlight LSU, which is settling in with Brian Kelly. And I'll get to those details in just a second. When I mentioned busy day in the transfer portal, though, I meant what George is losing. JT Daniels, the quarterback, started the year as a starter, former five-star, modern-day kid, gets injured, doesn't get the job back, Stetson Bennett takes it, wins a natty. He hit the portal. More notably, so did receiver Jermaine Burton, who's got a lot of potential, probably didn't like that he didn't catch that many passes this season in Athens. 24/7 Sports' Clint Brewster assigned JT Daniels a rating of 89 and Jermaine Burton a rating of 94. All right, back to the Across the Country with the College Football Daily playlist. We're starting the second season. I already mentioned that. We're previewing, or we're looking at an outlook, a storyline, an angle for all 65 Power 5 teams. And of course, a few Group of 5s too. We'll deliver on that promise. Some FCS teams last year as well. You can find this playlist on Spotify. And once again, LSU is the first school we're talking about. Ed Orgeron's gone. LSU has a new vibe, a little bit more buttoned up. I think the Tigers, I mean, look, like we're not expecting them to compete for an SEC West title in 2022, but I think we're going to get some competent play. I think it's going to definitely be better than the 6-7 campaign that we saw in 2021. And I think the new transfers are really going to help. So here's Matthew Brune. All right. Matthew Brune joins us right now. So when I look at this right now, it's 11 transfers for LSU. And that currently leads the 2022 transfer team rankings for 24/7 Sports. How many players do you think the Tigers are going to try to add? Because I've seen different numbers floating around, but it looks like it could be a lot more than 11.
Yeah, it feels like it's going to continue to go up. I don't think they have. So I've said this before, but I think a big thing with this freshman class was getting Will Campbell and Walker Howard, two five-star type guys. And then, you know, having, I could argue, probably four other players in this class right below them that look like really, really good players. So they have a really good core to their freshman class. So they're not having to be like, oh, we need to go get, you know, Harold Perkins, or we need to go get whoever, Trevante Citizen running back. You know, they'll recruit guys still, obviously, but the core that they have with this freshman class is really, really impressive. And so that's comforting, I feel like, for their future, because obviously you don't want to wholesale mortgage the future just to bring in transfers. But with that core they have as a strong freshman on both sides of the ball, I think it's allowed them to go get, I mean, just attack the transfer portal. And we knew they were going to do it. I'm not sure I knew that they were going to go this crazy, but like you said, they're at 11, brought back Miles Brennan, which could technically be 12, but I mean, one of them is a long snapper. So, you know, I guess replace that. But I could see this getting up to 16, 17. 16 probably feels right. Cause then, you know, with the whole 32 number, if they get to 16, then they'll have three more spots left for freshmen. And I know Trevante Citizen's one name at running back. And then they have a couple other names there. Jacoby Matthews at safety is another name they're looking at, which five-star safety. So, you know, just guys like that. I feel like they're not going to reach in this freshman class.
Yeah. So basically like they can afford, you mentioned the freshman class. So I pulled it up, 13 commits so far. So this could this is probably going to be more transfers than freshmen, which we've seen, but like to see it at an LSU level, I think it's pretty impressive, pretty surprising. And it's not going to be the first of the blue blood types of schools to go that hard into the portal. Who are some of the guys that they have already got committed that you think are going to be players who we need to know in 2022, whether it's Mekhi Wingo or a lineman like, where is he, Miles Frazier or Noah Kane, the Penn State running back? Who do you think is going to be making a really big impact for LSU this fall?
It's interesting because I look at all these names. I'm like, I've done some analysis pieces on a few of them, and like Greg Brooks, Joe Fusha, Kyron Lacy, the receiver from ULL. I mean, he was a great player at Louisiana. There's possibilities for, you know, all of them. It's which ones, you know, can actually realize that potential and kind of step up to the plate. But also it is LSU's young players, because LSU does have a lot of young players that are going to be, you know, vying for snaps now at this point. LSU's had top five class the past 3 years as far as, you know, and that's all freshmen. I mean, that's, you know, all incoming freshmen for those years. So those guys are starting to come into their own. So you'll have a lot of competition for a lot of these guys. I think Mekhi Wingo, I think, will definitely be a defensive lineman that'll get snaps. Because I think if you look at like the defensive end position for LSU, there's some depth needed there. But offensive line, you mentioned Miles Frazier projects to probably be a starting tackle day one for, you know, if he stays healthy the entire season. So Miles Frazier, Mekhi Wingo. I look at Greg Brooks as a nickel that I think replaces Cordell Flott for LSU. And then Joe Fusha at safety, I think he's going to be right in the safety conversation. Both those guys from Arkansas, obviously. So those guys, I'll throw in Mekhi Gardner as well from ULL, University of Louisiana. And because he was an all conference corner. And I think that he could really help them in that secondary.
You mentioned the Arkansas. There's been a fun little trade because LSU, right? Not really, but you know, LSU lost two transfers to Arkansas and Dwight McLaughlin, a corner, and Landon Jackson, an edge player. Speaking of like guys they lost, it does feel like, you know, with Eli Ricks and Max Johnson, and then of course when Max Johnson, the quarterback, like that was comboed with his brother, the tight end Jake, both going to Texas A&M. Feels like LSU definitely, you know, got hit a little bit like most teams have. Matthew, though, how close do you think Kayshon Boutte, the star receiver, was to leaving? I know there was a lot of smoke. I suppose something could still happen. I know that there's an NIL. He tweeted something that, compels me to think he would be sticking around in Baton Rouge. But this was almost like, because losing Eli Ricks is one thing, but like it was almost nuclear level bad to lose Boutte.
Yeah, if they would have lost Boutte, it would have been very, very bad. Like, it doesn't matter who you bring in, basically, at the receiver position. And LSU has really good young receivers, because, I mean, LSU seemingly always has some solid receivers. But, you know, Kayshon Boutte is obviously a different animal. You can't grow those on trees. Kayshon Boutte would have been a huge, huge loss for them. But to keep him, I honestly don't think he was that close to leaving. I think a lot of it was smoke. Maybe he was, exploring his options and whatnot. But he came out pretty quick a couple weeks before he, you know, guaranteed or, you know, whatever, said that he was coming back. He seemed like he was at the high school state championship games in Louisiana, in New Orleans. It seems like he stayed in contact with LSU people the entire time. So I don't know how real the smoke was, but it was definitely terrifying for LSU fans just to kind of sit through that and be like, well, I hope he stays, because if not, I'm not sure how good LSU can be next year.
Yeah, especially, I mean, and we're, you know, talking about a guy who was injured last year, but was incredible when he was on the field. He's going to be a junior this fall, probably his last season of college football. And the smoke was that he'd be going to Alabama, and they already got Eli Rick. So that would be just a horrible blow. Would you walk us through what happened with Miles Brennan?
Ooh, yeah. Miles Brennan entered the transfer portal before the bowl game. And so, okay, well, do you want me to go back to like before the season?
Whatever you want to do.
So before the season, he was in competition with Garrett Nussmeier for the starting quarterback job. He ends up getting hurts his shoulder, misses the entire season. Did I say Garrett Nussmeier? I meant Max Johnson. But yeah,
they're all three already, in comp. They're all three.
I've erased Max Johnson. You've forgotten from my
that
head.
Max Johnson existed.
Yeah, exactly.
This is covering college football in the era of the transfer portal.
Exactly.
Instead of learning 85 names a year, it's going to be like 200. So he's in competition and he gets hurt. Then he hit. I forget though when he hit the portal. I guess it doesn't quite matter. But I thought he was as good as gone. did like Brian Kelly, do you know which party reinitiated contact? Did Miles Brennan, he's a program guy. Was he like, oh my God, like Max Johnson's leaving. There's nobody in the room. I mean, we all saw what happened for LSU in the bowl game. Was he like, I have to go save LSU? Was Brian Kelly like, we got to get this guy back? To kind of tell us that step.
From what I understand, it was a lot of it was Brian Kelly and trying to get Miles Brennan back. I mean, they were going to have to get a transfer portal quarterback regardless because their quarterback room without Brennan and without Johnson is just Garrett Nussmeier, who was a freshman last year. Looks like a talented player. He was a high four-star coming out of high school, but it would only have been him and Walker Howard, who was the number five quarterback in the country for the 2022 class. So it would have been just those two. And so they knew they had to go get a veteran quarterback in as kind of a stopgap. You know, you want a guy who can just has 1 or 2 years of eligibility, who can really come in and produce, and who better than to bring back Miles Brennan, who, like you said, is a program guy. He's been with LSU since 2017. He's had a couple unfortunate injuries. He was obviously the backup to Joe Burrow. He was all these things. And so a lot of people expected him to start in 2021, and then obviously he gets hurt. So I think bringing him back is the best case scenario. I think he's going to be a really solid quarterback. I think Brian Kelly knew what he was doing, trying to get him back. And I think that's the easiest solution, because if you lose Miles Brennan, I don't know what quarterback you can get that's better and that and that matches up your timeline the way that Miles Brennan does. So yeah, you get Miles Brennan for a year. I think that's best case scenario. And I think that's a real positive for LSU.
Yeah. Brian Kelly has won a lot of games with solid quarterbacks. It's fair to say like they probably weren't going to go get Caleb Williams out of the portal. So that's a good point. Last question for you, Matthew. The rest of college football, and I was even watching a Monday Night Football countdown the other day, and like the come on man, Brian Kelly's fake accent was one of the top ones, and it just kind of got me laughing. The rest of college football is still kind of trying to figure out Brian Kelly and Baton Rouge and this culture fit. How have LSU fans warmed up to this new staff?
It's gotten a lot warmer since the transfer portal news started picking up.
So it was a little because for a while they had to put the staff together. Was it a little like, what are we doing?
That's true too, as well. The staff coming together. He did hire good coordinators. I mean, before it took a while for the staff. Well, basically for like the 3 weeks between him getting hired, well, probably longer than that, but the month between him getting hired and the bowl game, there was very little news coming out of LSU outside of players leaving. And so it was a lot of like trepidation, like, all right, you know, when is he going to get going? When's this thing going to rev up? And, you know, you had the whole fake accent thing. We didn't really hear from him outside of his introductory press conference. He hasn't held another presser since then. So it's been a lot of just like wondering, like, all right, what is he doing? What is he doing? And then you have the people like, oh, just trust him. You know, he knows what he's doing. And that's kind of where on the side that I was at, I was like, just he'll get it done. So yeah, it was a little trepidation. It was a little fear, but you know, he's finally, you know, hit his stride, and his staff has now hit its stride. And it looks like it's a solid staff, and it looks like it's a really solid transfer portal class. So people are warming up now. You know, Baton Rouge was, they just want to win at this point. And honestly, they were Baton Rouge resident and LSU fans were tired of Ed Orgeron by the end of it. So doing a complete 180 from Ed Orgeron is not the worst thing that you can do. People felt good about that.
Yeah, I've always thought it was silly. And, you know, maybe I've been victim of it too, guilty of it, whatever. But the total consternation that Brian Kelly might not be a fit. It's like Ed Orgeron, like, you know, bathes in gumbo, and he got fired a year and a half after winning a natty. So right. It is what it is. Matthew Bruin, man, appreciate you coming on, and we'll talk to you again another time this summer.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
Okay. We appreciate Matthew joining us once again. Go check out, I guess, start following the playlist across the country with the College Football Daily, because we will be dropping more episodes on each Power 5 team throughout the offseason. So go get ready. LSU was first, 64 to go. Woohoo, woohoo. Our producer is Lance Lynn. My name is Trey Scott. Have a great Thursday. We'll talk to you on Friday for the next edition of the College Football Daily.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. we're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.